This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We've got a busy 7 o'clock hour planned. Buster Olney is going to join us at 7:20 to talk Nationals and MLB. We've got our weekend parlay coming up at 7:45, but when you hear that music, you know it's time to talk to Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, Papa Squeeze. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, Papa Squeeze.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Cool. I apologize in advance if my phone cuts out a bit. I'm driving to I'm not driving. My photographer, Dave, is driving to one of our field trip locations for Fox 5, so apologies in advance if I break up a little bit.
Where's the field trip location?
Where's the zip trip?
It's got to be Northern Virginia somewhere.
Yeah, we're in Bull Run Regional Park. There's an exhibit happening starting today called the Jurassic Adventure. I need to double check the name of it because we're on the way there now. But yeah, we're just out here talking about this like exhibit that's going to be happening for the next couple weeks here in the area. So.
All right, Kevin, so we build this as a summer movie preview. There's nothing big coming out this weekend because obviously it's the weekend before Memorial Day. Mm. All the studios, they hold back all the sillies.
What's the biggest one?
Summer movie season. Well, we'll let Kevin tell you.
Kevin, what's the biggest one?
I think I know what he's going to say.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm looking at Top Gun. I think Top Gun is going to be one of the biggest movies of the summer. And I think that, like, a lot of people were, you know, originally concerned and wondering how they're going to make a sequel. Is it because at the end of the day, when they make a sequel to a film as classic as Top Gun, you're dealing with the idea of, are you making it for money or are you making it because you actually have a narrative story to tell? And I think the brilliance of the new Top Gun film, Maverick, is that at the same time, it delivers insane action, but it's also a great story and a great thing for people who love the first Top Gun. I think it's better than the original Top Gun, and I say that because I think it's just a better story. I think it actually finishes a lot of the emotional arcs that you may have wanted to see in the first Top Gun. It comes out May 27th, and I know you guys are aware that I'm going to mention this in the show, but I really mean it. And like, this is a movie you have to see in IMAX. I'm hearing from a lot of people that this is the movie that it's going to bring people back to the theater for. Because if you think about it, you know, for the past couple of years, everybody has had a threshold of what film or what concert or what event they would actually go back out for. And like for Top Gun, people, you know, for a summer blockbuster release and Danger Zone and the flying and the IMAX scenes. And I told you guys on the show a couple of weeks ago, I mean, this is legitimately IMAX. Like, we're talking about actors in the planes with six IMAX cameras in the cockpit, capturing their actual reactions to taking 7+ Gs while also saying their lines, while also staying in character, and also running the cameras themselves. These actors had to press record at the right time while in the air being flown by a Navy pilot and capture that. So they'd go up for 12 to 14 hours and come back with like 40 seconds of footage, essentially. And, you know, they would be up there the whole time, but think about a 12 to 14 hour work day and you come home with 40 seconds of footage. So I'm telling you guys, I was skeptical. I think a lot of people were skeptical about this one. It delivers on every single aspect. And for example, like, we live in an area where we have two Smithsonian 6-to-7-story IMAX screens. There's the Lockheed Martin in D.C. and then obviously the Udvar-Hazy out in Chantilly. But these screens are designed for a movie like this. Like, it is going to blow your mind when you guys see it. So that's coming out May 27th. And that, to me, is the movie that is meant to bring people back to theaters at this point. So that's May 27th.
So in terms of the characters, in the original Top Gun, Val Kilmer played Iceman, of course, and he was kind of the villain until the very end.
Right.
They became friends. But so Miles Teller, is he playing the new Iceman? Is he a villain in this the new movie, or is he nice?
Right. So, and I'm going to review it next week, but basically the story is this. So obviously the first Top Gun Maverick, Goose, the character Goose, dies as he's ejecting from the plane. Anthony
right.
Edwards plays that character. Goose, his son, Rooster, who's actually Miles Teller's character in this film, is also a Top Gun pilot who's, you know, kind of still angry at the fact that Tom Cruise's character Maverick could have been, you know, was involved in his father's death somehow. And if you remember the first Top Gun movie, like, you know, Maverick gets, you know, they clear his name and he doesn't get anything on his record about that particular situation because of the way the death happened. So Miles Teller, so, you know, Cruise returns to Top Gun to try and train these Top Gun pilots to take off a real mission that the military needs them to do. So it's really, it's kind of a great story, and Joe Kaczynski directed it. It comes out next week, so that's May 27th.
So what else is, like, nothing else is going to be big coming out that same week. There's got to be others, like, pushed further.
Nothing else
nothing
that
wants
week.
To open against Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, so what they're going to do is Obi-Wan Kenobi opens on Disney Plus next week as well. So what they're doing is they're putting like that on Disney Plus and then Top Gun in theaters. I know we don't have a ton of time yet, so I'm just going to run through a couple of these. So the following couple of weeks, June 10th, that's Jurassic World Dominion, obviously the new Jurassic film that's going to be coming out. That brings back Laura Dern and Sam Neill, and obviously some of the iconic characters like Jeff Goldblum. That's June 10th. It's the final film in the Jurassic era of the Jurassic World films. So if you're a Jurassic Park fan, I mean, you're going to be getting basically Sam Neill and Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum all back in a Jurassic film together,
Kevin,
which is cool.
Please tell me that looks like it's trending to be better than the second Jurassic World, which I can't remember the name of it, but I thought that movie stunk. I really liked the first Jurassic World. The second one was terrible.
Yeah, second one was Fallen Kingdom, and that's kind of what everyone's hoping. Everyone's hoping that this one will be, like, this one will kind of bring it back to the original. And then June 24th is Elvis, which I'm really excited about. This is Baz Luhrmann's new movie. Baz obviously did Romeo and Juliet, The Great Gatsby, Moulin Rouge. But this particular film is, you know, starring Austin Butler. If you guys saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he played a character in Hollywood called Tex. He was the guy at the end that is fighting Brad Pitt in the house. He's also the guy in The Horse in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So he's playing Elvis. Tom Hanks is playing the Colonel, I believe. And I haven't seen the film yet, but it comes out June 24th. It looks amazing. I know Austin Butler is, like, not a name you might know right now, but I think he's going to be a big star. That's June 24th. And then July 8th. Is going to be Thor Love and Thunder, which is the new Thor film. Obviously, this is directed by the guy who did Thor Ragnarok, Taika Waititi, who is kind of a big name in himself. He's an actor as well. So that movie comes out July 8th. And then my number one most anticipated film of the year, no question, is Jordan Peele's new movie called Nope. And I'm obviously you guys know I loved Get Out and I loved Us. I think Jordan Peele is one of the greatest directors working today, not just in the horror genre, but just in general. He's a phenomenal storyteller, and his script for Get Out is one of the greatest scripts I've ever read. So this movie Nope comes out July 22nd. We're not entirely sure exactly what it is yet. We think there's an alien aspect to it, but the trailer is out now. Daniel Kaluuya, who stars in it, he was the lead star of Get Out. T.E. Palmer. So that's July 24th. No, July 22nd. So that's going to be a big one. So we have a really good summer coming up, and you guys have seen the box office numbers. I mean, Doctor Strange crushing it. So movies are back, guys. Movies are back, and I'm seeing Top Gun again next Thursday at Udvar-Hazy. So I'm excited.
You love Yuval Hazy more than anybody else on the planet.
I've seen one film there, and it was awesome. I saw Dunkirk there, and it was really good.
I'm telling you, you guys joke on me, but like when you if you're going to leave your house and go to a theater, especially for a film like Top Gun, which is going to be like an over an hour of it is in the IMAX with flying footage. Like, why would you not want to see it? Like, I have.
Because I'll tell you why. Because these guys would never drive to Dulles Airport to go see a film.
No, I won't drive there. But I
was there yesterday.
Sure I'm going to see it in the theater. And usually I scoff at Kevin when he says you got to see it in IMAX. It was shot in IMAX. Must see on IMAX. This is one where I feel like I'm going to spring the extra for the tickets because it just feels like the experience is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
Jason, you should text me. Meet me out at Chantilly. I'll meet you, dude. I will literally come to the theater and meet you and watch it with you just because I feel like I guarantee you the moment that movie ended, you would look at me and said, dude, you've been on our radio show since 2005, always hyping up IMAX or whatever. You're going to look at me and you go, Kevin, you were right the whole time. Because like, there's nothing like it. There's absolutely.
Oh, I'm definitely going to see it. I'm definitely going to see it in IMAX. No doubt.
What about like college kids? Like, when did the original Top Gun come out? What year?
87?
86. Right. So what about like college kids or like, you know, guys like even like Adam probably didn't even see the original Top Gun.
Yeah.
Do they kind of give you a recap at the beginning? Because I be honest with you, I don't even really remember what happened.
You don't remember what happened
to
Top
Gun?
I don't. No. I never thought about it. I haven't thought about it in 40 years.
Yeah, the movie works without the first one. Now, I will argue this. Rewatching the first one before it is key because I do feel that emotionally. See, here's the thing. Like if your son, Eric, like, you know, if he sat down and watched the new Top Gun movie, had never seen Top Gun 2. Like, for me, Terminator 2 was the first Terminator that I saw. I never saw T1, but they explained the story enough in T2, just kind of like
so
here.
So did they
where
do
you
that?
Yeah. So you'll get enough of a remembrance of like they'll explain the goose death.
I can't even remember. Goose died. Why did he die?
Because they ejected. Tom Cruise lost control of the airplane.
Right.
It went into a spin.
Right.
Ejected.
They had to eject.
Hit his head.
And Goose Kid snapped his neck on the canopy on the cockpit canopy on when he got ejected.
Yep.
Dead.
And so
well, that wasn't
so
Tom Cruise's fault.
Ultimately, it
wasn't Tom Cruise's fault. Well, technically speaking, they cleared him of it, the character, but theoretically, you could argue that Cruise was responsible.
Why?
For just because he was operating the airplane and.
Didn't he fly into the jet wash of the plane?
That's what happened in Kentucky.
Lost control.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Come on. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
No, so anyway, the point being is to answer Jason's question, basically, I would rewatch one just because one actually holds up better than I remembered. It's really, really solid, actually, but this new one is incredible. So when I'm back with you guys next week, I'll have seen it again in IMAX. I'll review that. I'll review Obi-Wan Kenobi. But there's a lot of great options coming out, and I think movies are back. And I'm telling you guys, I would give anything to sit with all you guys and watch Top Gun at like an IMAX theater because I think
where's the closest IMAX to me?
For you, Eric, I don't want to say where you live.
I live in Kensington.
Okay, all right, I'll say Kensington. If I were you, I would go out to Lockheed Martin in D.C. But here's the thing: in Kensington, you can get to Udvar Hazy in 25 minutes.
No,
where you live.
If it's right near the airport, I mean, hell, I was there yesterday for volleyball.
Yeah, you should go.
That's what I'm
do it.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah.
All right, Kevin. Thank you for updates on the summer movies,
good
and we'll
weekend.
Talk again next week.
All right, I love you guys, and I'll be back next week with Top Gun and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and we'll talk more. But guys, I'm telling you, and I would love to hear from your listeners as well. Let me know if you're going to go. A lot of people are saying that Top Gun's the one that's going to bring them back, and I love hearing that, and it's genuinely awesome. Like, it's not just a cash grab. It's awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I can only imagine what his review is going to be.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you,
Travi,
Kevin.
Why are you mocking me for not remembering Top Gun? It came out in 1986.
I mocking you?
You seem like it. I don't remember.
I think I was mocking Kevin, probably.
Oh. I don't remember the movie. I mean, I remember Goose died.
Okay, so you're telling me that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gist of the controversy.
In 86, and you've never spent 5 minutes with Top, like when it comes on TV, you've never sat down and like, oh, Top Gun's on. I'm going to watch 20 minutes of it again.
Never.
That's never
the
happened.
The only movie
Drag
that I've done
T-shirt
that.
Sees the shirtless volleyball scene, yeah. And he can't stop watching
I don't
it.
Remember it.
I need to know if Top Gun 2 is going to have gay undertones.
I don't know.
Did Top Gun 1 have gay yeah. undertones?
It's famous for that.
Really? You blocked it out.
It's
might not have picked
it's
up
about
on
a
it.
Man struggling with his heterosexuality.
Is that true?
Yeah.
According to Valdez.
According to Valdez and yeah, other haters
the
out there.
The only no, movie that
Quentin Tarantino. Ever heard of him?
I have heard of him.
There's like two movies. Like obviously when Hoop Dreams comes on, I'm riveted. I mean, it's just literally the only one that I'll watch over and over. But then there is one other one, and it's a Jack Nicholson scene, the Code Red bit.
You love A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men. When A Few Good Men comes on. Yeah, sorry. I've watched that by 15 times.
Yeah. Well, I watched the original Top Gun with my daughter last weekend. She loved it.
Did it hold up? Like he said, it holds up reasonably well.
It's reasonable.
Do they have like bricks for cell phones? They probably don't even have cell phones.
Yeah, look, it's 86.
Yeah, it didn't have cell phones. Zippy cell phones.
Right. Were they wearing like hurting members only? Like,
I mean, Tom Cruise wearing a bomber jacket. It's famous. He's riding on the motorcycle in his bomber jacket.
You know I remember
you
nothing.
You don't know Top Gun. You don't know Top Gun.
I remember nothing.
Just go see it.
Right. When we come back, we'll pivot away from Top Gun. We'll talk some Major League Baseball and Nationals with Buster Olney from ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined on the BetQL guest hotline by Buster Olney, MLB insider for ESPN.com. Buster, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Sure, no problem. I'm going to tell you, the podcast producer that I have, when I told him that I was going to go on with you guys, he was so excited. He was like, that's my favorite show. I love that show. I'm going to be listening when you go on there. That's so cool.
That's awesome. Good. Well, we've been doing it long enough.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you made waves yesterday, and, you know, Buster's a long-time MLB guy, so anytime you write a story or something like that, people take it seriously. And you were suggesting, I guess, essentially that, you know, we all know the Nationals are in a tough spot here with Soto because obviously they'd love to keep him, but he's going to cost so much. What are you going to do here? They got ownership issues. And I think you reported basically you were talking around and people were essentially saying, look, they're going to have to move him.
Yeah, so this came out of conversations with executives with other teams who are obviously, you know, monitoring what's going on with their opponents so they can anticipate situations that might develop. And I want to make absolutely clear that at this point, this is all speculation, informed speculation from the executives. We have no information. The Nationals are talking about trading Juan Soto. But what they see is, folks with other teams see is this dynamic developing on the horizon that the Nationals at some point are going to be faced with a choice of giving Juan Soto the biggest contract in the history of North American sports or considering trading him. And the X factor, of course, is the ownership change. And I've covered, and you guys have seen situations where when a team is sold from one group to another, You know, the incoming team will want resolution on, you know, important matters. And that's not only in sports, that's in every business. And so, you know, the speculation among other teams is, look, if the incoming owners, you know, they're going to want to know if they can sign Soto, if they're going to be able to work out a deal. We know that he turned down $350 million over 13 years in the spring. He's represented by Scott Boras, who always takes his clients into free agency, almost always. And so if you're the incoming owner, you want to know if you can do that deal. And big picture, that's the best case scenario for the Nationals. You can continue to have Juan Soto be our headliner guy. But if you can't and you're an incoming owner, you might want the trade to happen on the watch of the previous owner, because you don't want your first move coming in. Hey, guys, we bought the team. We're coming on board. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to trade this Babe Ruthian-type young talent when he's 23 years old. So that's the forecast that I'm getting from folks with other teams.
Right, and Buster, you don't want to inherit that mess, too, with what's happened with this franchise in the past with Bryce Harper moving on, not signing Anthony Rendon, trading away Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. So all of those, you know, compound this issue as well. Like, Nats fans, they've been beaten up by all of their, you know, homegrown stars outside of Strasburg leaving the franchise over the last 5 to 7 years.
100%. I think that context is all very important. And, you know, the struggles this year, you know, that's important. You know, how long will it actually take? Will you actually have a chance to be good before Soto hits free agency? And I got to say, you know, in the case of Strasburg, and you guys know Steven, you know, my feeling all along was he's going to go back to the Nationals, because he's kind of a, and I say this as objectively, I don't mean this at all as a criticism, he's kind of a homebody, right? He doesn't like change. The question, the key question with Soto is, what does he want? Does he want to be on the biggest stage? You know, does he want to be in a place that he knows, like Washington? And if the answer in the end is that he wants to go out and make the most money and be on the biggest stage, when you talk about trade value, you know, the further away you're from free agency, the more value you're going to get. That's just a simple fact. And so that's, again, these are part of the reasons why folks with other teams are watching this closely, because, my goodness, if Soto hits the market, you know, that'll be the biggest name traded probably at that young of an age since Babe Ruth. So, you know, in terms of what he's accomplished, how great a player he is.
So, Buster, right now the biggest total contract is Trout with the $427 million. That was an extension, but he's got $427 million. Do you think that based on the finances right now of Major League Baseball, and they had the lockout, is there a team, an owner out there that would give Soto $500 million or $450
yes.
million?
Yeah, because what happened is, you know, for all the talk about, you know, anti-tanking measures and trying to, you know, fight service time manipulation, ultimately the system that the players agreed to addressed none of that and kept open the possibility that the star players will continue to see their, you know, their salaries rise. That was protected, which is, you know, why moving forward, if you're Juan Soto, there's no cap, right? And if you get an owner who's willing to pay that, whether it's Steve Cohen of the Mets, you know, whether it's Hal Steinbrenner, let's say that Aaron Judge moves on in free agency this fall, and Hal Steinbrenner, the Yankees owner, decides in 2 years, you know what, we want to take a run at him. The Giants have tremendous payroll flexibility. You know, the Red Sox franchise might be in a position here if they trade Xander Bogaerts this spring where they're going to be looking for a headliner. And keep in mind, when we talk about Soto and his decisions, can you guys think of a player who's in a better leverage position than Soto when dealing with incoming Washington ownership, where he can, Scott Boras can go to them and he can throw a crazy number out there, $550 million. Either you agree to our terms, or guess what, guys? We're going to hit the marketplace. Either you give us everything we want, or we're going to walk away. The amount of pressure on incoming ownership, the amount of leverage, is going to be staggering.
It is, but again, to Cakes's point, if they lose Soto after losing Rendon and everyone, Bryce and yep. Trey and everyone else, man, that's going to be the final nail in the coffin, I think, for fans here. I mean, because, listen, we all know D.C.'s not a great sports town. It's a great front-runners town, and we love it when the football team's doing great or the basketball team's doing great or the Caps are doing great. But it's not a great sports town. If they lose Soto, then we're just basically saying, you know, we're like the Twins, you know, or like the A's back in the day where we just can't keep our superstars. I don't know, man. I think that would be a final turnoff for a lot of
or
fans.
Or the A's now. And Buster, you've seen the lack of crowds in that stadium. And that's got to be an eye-opener for whoever's owning the Nats if Soto isn't here.
I mean, if you're not going to re-sign him, who are you going to re-sign? He's everything you want in a franchise player, right? In terms of personality, in terms of playing
ability. He's 23 years old. Yes. And he's 23.
Yeah.
You know, I completely agree with you, which is why, and everything you're saying, Scott Boras knows,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is why he's in a position, and again, why it's going to be such a difficult decision, and I do hope for the sake of the franchise that they say, you know what, this is our Ted Williams. You know, this is our Mike Trout. This is our Babe Ruth, and we're going to make sure that we keep him, because it's very rare that you see a player that young, you know, with that his skills developed to that point. But as I say, one of the big questions about the whole thing is, what does he want? Mm-hmm. What does he want? Because there are, you know, Mike Trout, when there was a lot of speculation early in his career, well, he you know, he's from Philadelphia area and he'll want to go back there. I know Mike a little bit. I was like, no way. Wow. He's a guy who likes quiet. He likes to be in one spot, and he knew he would work it out, and the Angels wound up paying him money. But if Juan Soto wants to leave and go to the big stage, the Nationals don't have any control over that. Right. And then they will be faced with a decision, not only when to, you know, to trade him, but when to trade him. And the sooner you do it, the more value you're going to get. And if your team stinks now, and you're trying to get maximum value, this would certainly be the summer when you would start to think about that. Cleveland dealt with that same question with Francisco Lindor.
We're talking to Buster Olney from ESPN.com, who reported that it's speculation, but it's a possibility that the Nats do trade Juan Soto.
They denied it, right? And I think Boras denied it.
Let me ask you, and we talked about that, by the way, that the team, it might be out of their control if Juan does just decide, you know, I want to go to New York or LA or wherever. But let me ask you this. If the Learners are going to sell the team, whether it's this summer or in the offseason, would it deter another ownership group to purchase the team? And you kind of alluded to this, but why not just sign him if you're the Learners? Would it be a more attractive spot knowing you have that superstar, or is it preferable for a new ownership group to come in with a lower payroll?
Right, and I think that's exactly right, and it's a great question. You know, from what I understand, the Lerner family at the moment says our franchise is worth more because we have this superstar player. And that's absolutely the case, as you set the price on the team. But then moving forward, it's another question where, as you go through this, that process, and I have heard many examples of this. I covered the Padres in 1993 when they had the fire sale and they traded Sheffield and McGriff and all those. Incoming ownership, the folks that were interested in buying the team from Tom Werner at that time, they were like, look, you've got a financial issue going on here. Make these moves, cut the payroll down before we come on board, mm-hmm. right? Because they didn't want that on their resume. And you would assume that you'll have those off-the-record conversations between incoming ownership and the Learners about what's going to happen. And for the Learners, do they want their legacy, you know, touched by them, the outgoing act being the trading of Juan Soto? Those are all factors, and they're all complications. As I say, I would expect that anybody coming in to buy the team will want resolution on Soto before they take over.
But we did have somebody on yesterday, Jason. Who was it that said
yesterday? We had Barry Svrluga on.
Barry said that the consensus he was getting, and I think Buster agrees with this, is that it's better to have the best player, you know, in baseball, one of the top three players in baseball on your roster than
to build
having,
around. Yeah,
yeah, than having like nobody. Like you're more attractive. You're a more attractive purchase.
That's exactly right. And that's what I think from, you know, sources told me that the Learners, that's their perspective right now, that yeah. having Soto as part of the organization makes it more valuable. But then, you know, once you go into the process of agreeing to terms and processing ownership, then the question for the incoming ownership is, what's the status of Juan Soto moving forward?
All right, I'm just asking your opinion, all right? This is just Jason asking Buster. What's your prediction?
He gets traded sometime between the fall of 2022 and when he reaches free agency. Okay. I think that he is going to get into free agency the closer that he's there. Here's one of the parts of this that makes it easier, and it's the case with Aaron Judge now with the Yankees. Juan Soto's already made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge has already made a lot of money, which makes it easier for those guys to bet on themselves. Right?
Yeah.
And so the more money that you make, the more likely it is that you can say, look, the Nationals offered me $350 million. I think I have a chance to be the first $500 million player, the first $550 million player. So I'm just going to ride it out and go to free agency. Almost all of Boris's clients do that.
He's making $17 million this year in arbitration. What would next year's arbitration number be? Would it be 30?
Some in mid-20s would be my guess.
Right.
Without actually having taken a look at it. So he's going to have banked, by the time we get through the end of next year, what, $50 million?
Yeah.
So it's all monopoly money at that point anyway. And if Juan's desire, and I don't know where he wants to play, but if his desire is to play someplace else, he can certainly follow that trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Buster, let's talk non-Nats for just a second here, and thanks for taking time. We do appreciate it. We knew the Mets were taking a big risk by signing Max to a 3-year, $130 million-plus deal, and now he's on the IL for 6 to 8 weeks with the oblique strain. Mike Rizzo loved Max, but realized, hey, this guy's getting up here in years. I know I'm not going to re-sign him. I'm going to deal him. They dealt him before the end of last season. Talk about how that Mets rotation is looking now with Max and DeGrom sideline and McGill sideline as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a concern, with Max now, with that, the unusual nature of delivery, how violent it is. I'm sure that coming back from some sort of ribcage issue probably will be complicated, and the Mets will want to absolutely slow play it, just as they are with DeGrom, who by the time DeGrom comes back, by the way, he'll have missed an entire calendar year without pitching in a game. But here's what's different about the Mets compared to previous years. We know the owner doesn't care about money.
Right.
The Wilpons family that owned the team before, in a situation like this, fans would be like, boy, who are they going to add? And, it'd be some 4A journeyman that they might try to plug in there. When we get to the trade deadline, or even maybe before that, Steve Cohen, who's the richest owner of baseball, is going to go, yeah, whatever it takes, go trade for that guy. Go trade for that guy. We'll fill the rotation. He's made it clear, money be damned. He wants a championship, and a part of that was when he gave Max the contract that he did.
Yeah.
Buster, thanks so much for the time. We know you're super busy. It's Buster Olney, MLB insider for ESPN.com. We'll have to have you on again soon.
Thanks, Buster.
That
appreciate
sounds great,
it.
Guys.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You know, that Mets situation is crazy because it actually could work out for him because they have such a big lead, a seven-game lead right now. So they don't have to have Max and DeGrom now with that seven. They're going to be in the postseason,
right?
Whether it's division winner or wild card. But once they get to the postseason, they have less innings, obviously, because it's not an arm, it's oblique. So he's going to have less innings, and DeGrom would be back, hopefully for them. So maybe they're fresher this year than they would be in a normal season where Max would have thrown over 200 innings.
O'Leary would say that the oblique is... It's just part of the chain.
Yeah. It's definitely concerning. It's definitely concerning.
And by the way, O'Leary in December said he didn't think DeGrom would make it out of spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Didn't. Right.
And he didn't think Scherzer would last much longer than that.
Didn't.
Pretty much all
nailed
over it.
It.
All right, we come back. Hopefully we nail our weekend parlay, so stay tuned. Old Glory DC Match Days have something for everyone, from rugby fanatics to first-time fans of the game. So get your tickets now as Old Glory DC battles the Houston Sabercats this Saturday. That's tomorrow, Ricky's at 1 p.m. at Segra Field in Leesburg. The music's pumping, the taps are flowing, and, of course, the hard-hitting rugby action never disappoints. Get there early for a free Rugby 101 session for fans of all ages, hosted by Old Glory players and staff, plus a larger-than-life kids zone for young fans and more. For details and to get your tickets, go to oldglorydc.com. Still have two pair of Bill Burr tickets to give away, so keep listening for your chance to win those before the show is over today. John Feinstein coming up in just about 15 minutes for Fridays with Feinstein, but that music means it's time for the Junks' weekend parlay. Hopefully we can hit it big and make lots of cash.
Now, last week, of course, we were 0-for. We got killed on our picks. Okay, it happens. But this will be a five-game parlay because we're not full strength with Flame being out. Mm-hmm. So this will be a five-teamer. I put $6 on my FanDuel account. And we can spin the wheel and get ready.
Let's do it. Let's get into it. Love my pick. I love it.
All right. If you love it, why don't you give it to us?
Oh, I get to go first?
Yeah.
All right, the Oilers and the Flames combined for 15 goals in their first round, actually the second round Stanley Cup playoff game, the first game of it. I'm just dumb enough to think that it's going to be another offensive explosion in game two. I just love over 6.5 goals. Now, the odds aren't great. I'm laying, it's minus 118, but I'm going to go over the 6.5 goals. I mean, Keith Tkachuk's kid is scoring hatties, and Keith Tkachuk is in the stands and won't throw his hat on the ice because he loves his lid so much he can't part with it. I think it's like a golf or country club lid. It's not a Flames lid because I mean, he could get a million Calgary Flames lid from his kid. So I just think there's going to be more goal scoring with Connor McDavid and company. I love the over in that game. Shocker, I'm picking an over in an NHL tilt.
And that was a 9-6 game in game one.
Yes, it was.
All right, that's at 10:40 tonight.
Yes, it is.
And you will not watch one play. 1 minute.
10:40 is kind of an aggressive start time for your pal.
Yeah. All right, so over 6.5 minus 118 there.
Yes.
All right, you're in. All right, Valdez, you want to give us number two?
Sure. Are you doing what's the deal with the golf stuff? Are we doing this? Or
I
not?
I do have a golf play, but
we don't know if it'll be eligible.
I have a backup if it's not.
Okay. All right. I want to do the golf play, but it's a little dicey.
Sound very unsure of your pick.
No, I love my golf play.
Okay.
I love it.
Well,
why don't
you put it in, and then if they won't accept it, you'll just have a backup plan.
No, they'll accept it, but I just don't know if they'll accept it after the show.
That's the point.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's the point.
I want to do Cam Smith to finish top 10.
Oh, okay. I was going to have Cam Smith top 5 plus 220. But I'll let you do that one, and I've got a backup.
Okay, top 10 is even money. If you like top 5, I'll do top 5 because he started out like double bogey, and then finally right the ship.
Yeah.
He's a birdie machine. He's great iron player, great around the green.
Great putter,
especially when the greens are slow.
Kind of like
so. Let's do Cam Smith top 5 at plus 220.
Mm. Yeah, and he's.
I love him. I love him at even money plus 10.
Plus top 10.
Top 10, and he's T7 right now. He has the luxury of going later today without the wind. So I love him top 5.
All right, Cam Smith currently T7 goes off of 225. And he will, so top 5 is plus 220. All right, that's in. I like that play, too. I had it on my list. All right. So we've got the over 6.5 in the Calgary-Edmonton game, and we've got Cam Smith top 5 finish at the PGA plus 220. All right, Mr. Bickle.
All right, we didn't really know what to do. We went through some different options here, and I think Jason and I, we were colluding together to try to come up with something that we both like.
Collusion's okay in certain instances.
So I'm going to take Steph Curry in made threes. I think the over-under is like 3.5, but I didn't like that.
That was minus 150.
So I said, like, the boys don't like it when I take faves like that. So let's bump it up to 5. So if he hits 5 threes or more, it's plus 170.
Correct.
So let's just roll with that.
All right.
Steph Curry can make 5 threes in his sleep.
5 or more threes, plus 170 tonight, game 2. That's a 9 o'clock tip.
Tired of the guys always saying they're doing all the heavy lifting on the parlay.
All right. I guess I'll give my backup play here. And I watched a little bit of the game last night, the Heat Celts, and of course the Heat got blowed out by the Celtics.
Atrocious game.
127-102. They hit 20 threes, by the way, in that game. 20 for 40 in threes. And clearly having Marcus Smart and Horford back was the difference, because they only lost by, I don't know, 7 or 9 in game 1 without those guys. Full strength yesterday, they win by 25. Now they come back to Boston tomorrow night for game 3. And I'm going to go, I think Boston will win this game, but I don't know if it'll be a blowout. I think Miami won there in the regular season. I think they'll play better and tougher, and I don't think Boston's going to hit 23s, but I think Boston will win the game. So I'm going to go win margin Boston Celtics between 1 and 10 points plus 170. So I think Boston beats Miami game 3 at home, but it will not be a blowout. Won't be 11 points or more.
You need to win by like 7.
So I'll go Boston Celtics win margin 1 to 10 plus 170.
All right. I like the odds. Man, you got to nail that, though.
That's got to be. You got to win by 6, 7, 8, 9.
He's got a range there to work with.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that just leaves Drabby.
Interesting here that Cakes' bet just changed in my bet slip here from 6.5 to over 7.
Oh, really?
It was automated. So now it's plus 100 to go over 7.
So I think it's going to be like 4-3 midway through the second. So, I don't like giving up a half goal, but I feel like I can do that here.
All right.
But that just means it's going to be a 2-1 slugfest tonight between the Flames and the
Correct.
Lakers. Just to let everybody know.
Correct. And Boston will win by 26.
Right, of course.
Or Miami will win the game.
Yep.
I got my eye on MLB. I like the Angels-A's game tonight, Athletics at Los Angeles. The pitcher for the A's is Paul Blackburn. And I'm going to go to the back of the baseball card, EB. This guy sucks.
Drab Rizzo.
He's a career just jag. He's had a 5 ERA last year. Somehow this guy's 4-0 this year with like a 1.3 ERA.
Yep.
Something's got to change. And Ohtani has only hit 4 home runs this year. He's going to start heating up. So I'm going to take Ohtani to hit a home run and the Angels to win. That's plus 450. I love this bet. Oh, I love it. Ohtani's left hand. This guy's just a meatballer righty. He's going to blast one.
Paul Blackmore. I actually had him on my fantasy team a couple weeks ago, and I had him for a couple wins, and then I dropped him.
That plus 450 is going to make this payoff tasty. I can taste it already.
All right. So you're in. All right. Just a quick recap here.
All right.
5-game parlay, and we have obviously the I just lost it. We have the over. It's either going to be 6.5 or 7 in the Calgary-Edmonton game. It's probably going to be 7
right.
Once I put it in. We've got Steph Curry over 5 or more threes tonight, game 2 against the Mavs, plus 188. We've got the Boston Celtics win margin, game 3 tomorrow night, 8:30 tip, between 1 and 10 points, plus 170. We've got Cam Smith to finish top 5. It's a weekend sweat there. Plus 220 at the PGA Championship. And we've got Shohei and the Angels winning tonight at home against Oakland. And Shohei's got to hit a bomb, plus 450.
Uh-oh.
So $6 will pay us if it hits. $1,636.
Pretty nice. Pretty nice if that ship comes in.
I'll take it. So,
like, tonight, it hinges on the Flames and the Oilers. Need that one to hit, then
now,
we can. Then
Valdez, we're just going to have a plan B if they won't accept play.
I'll give you my plan B during the break.
All right.
10th caller right now, 800-636-1067. You're going to get a pair of tickets before you can buy them to Bill Burr's Slight Return Tour at Capital One Arena, September 15th, courtesy of Live Nation. Buy your tickets on Friday, that's today, at 10 a.m. at livenation.com. John Feinstein up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.